2022. Sue, or Larry, why don't you let us know where we're at?
Chair Hill, committee members, in the last meeting, the committee was discussing Department of Justice's policy package and base budget. The discussion ended on discussion of Child Support Services Division's information technology. And there were some questions that the agency was asked to come back and address. Specifically, there was interest on the committee's part to find out about how the current IS staff were being deployed and whether or not there was any opportunity for redeployment to meet some of their position needs that are in the package. And they're here to talk about that, as well as address the, any concerns or questions they have with the committee's recommendations.
Hey, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Susan Wilson. I am Administrator of the Administrative Services Division for the Department of Justice. What we have is, we had some handouts at the last hearing last week that we didn't have a chance to go over. I just want to make sure you're aware of what they are. They should be in your notebooks. The Technology Information Services Budget Detail Breakdown that we provided. Also, project cost detail, which outlines one-time project costs and what we have identified as recurring operational costs for IT programs. We've also given you a breakdown, we were asked for a breakdown of the DAS support services for computer services and what those were. What we were able to do is to go back to the last 3 months and do a breakdown, itemized breakdown. Gives you an idea what our monthly costs are associated with the services that DAS is providing. We've also provided you with priorities that our IS users group came up with and determined the IT priorities for the department. And then also, we've just given you a little bit of information on some of the accomplishments in information we've had.
I guess I'm trying to, is that, is...
That's a separate...
Is this the document?
That's a separate document.
Be in your binder?
Chair, Senator, that should be in your notebook.
Oh, you're talking about the original, in the original budget?
Not in the original budget, last...
The packet, but the...
We passed that last Wednesday.
In that packet.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to share with you here a little bit.
I wanted to respond specifically to a couple of questions, and I did send a memo to Chair. I believe you have copies of that memo also. Responding to a couple of the things that were raised, one of the issues or suggestions that was made was that the department look at the possibility of doing some blending with the staff from the Child Support Division and the legal side, and what we might be able to do to use some of those resources. When we have talked about any kind of economies in the past of blending staff, it's been associated with co-location. So having all the Department of Justice in one place instead of at least 8 in Salem where we are now. That doesn't look like it's going to be happening in the near future. That makes it much more difficult for us to try to bring in economies related to maintenance and those types of things. We did talk with Adult and Family Services also about what we would need to do to be able to use the federally funded staff. It would require that we get into a cost element breakdown of the staff, of any indirect cost, and come up with each individual for some costs associated with it. They said that would be fine if we reimbursed absolutely everything, and if we could guarantee that any changes that we made or pulling of that staff would not have an impact on the program's ability to meet its federally mandated goals. In talking with the DCS staff and with AFS again, there was some question because of the pending backlog of work that's being done on the systems DCS, many of which are federally mandated, whether our use of any of their staff would be considered by them not to have an impact. It was felt that it might well have an impact on them trying to achieve their federally mandated goals. Because of some of those, it's something that we would prefer not to do, plus the training curve that we would have to do with bringing people over would probably make it not as cost-effective also associated with that. We're certainly willing to talk with you further about that, but I think the nature and...
If I can interrupt you?
Please.
So is there any reason how we could make this? Have we listed all the reasons why we can't do it? Is there any way that we could do it? in terms of low-level help desk, taking the first call, consolidate those functions, and just...
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it's again, it becomes somewhat troublesome in if we have staff who are, say, taking the help desk calls, the systems being used by the DCS staff are substantially different because of their mainframe connection than the systems being used by the legal staff. That would require that you have people with full knowledge of both systems, and for a low-level staff person, I'm not sure that that's a realistic expectation. Also, if you did blend them and they were taking the same thing, according to AFS, we would have to do something almost to the extent of tracking, was it a call related to a DCS system or a call related to a legal system, and break out the costs associated with that. Yes, you could do that. Is it, you know, is it cost efficient to do it that way? I'm not sure. But there would, it would take that level of accounting to be able to do a blended sort of help desk type of thing. Additional questions related to the issue of one-time cost, project cost versus ongoing costs. We've outlined in the memo that to the chair some of those costs and why we think there are some elements of those costs, and I understand there may be some desire to look at some of these differently than we have in the past in our budgeting. In given if the budgeting system maintains or stays the way it is, talking about having some of those costs rolled into our base cost, we've identified those costs, but we've also identified $597,000 that would be one-time costs associated with this project, and so those would not be recurring. In relationship to the positions that are there in our policy package, I want to go quickly through the positions, and then I also have asked Jim Jorgensen, our information services manager, to go through, because I know that there were some questions about just how is the current staff being used, and could we pull them and have them do something differently when a new system comes in. So the positions that we're asking for are the management analyst, and we've talked about that. We understand that there may be some interest in making that a limited duration position. We do believe there's going to be an ongoing need, but we would support the limited duration aspect if that's the committee's recommendation. The federally funded HIDA, high-intensity drug trafficking area support position, is currently a limited duration. We were asking for it to be made permanent. Again, it's harder to recruit for limited duration positions. We believe that the federal funding is going to be ongoing enough that that we've asked for all the positions related to this to be made permanent. We also certainly have the understanding that if all the money goes away, the position goes away too. The IS-5 positions, which I think are the two positions that are having the most questions associated with them, there's been questions on whether or not a move from Banyan Vines, our current operating system, to Windows 2000 would free up staff and let them support the new system. We believe that the move does not lighten workloads at all. In fact, we believe that it's probably going to increase the workloads in some areas. Microsoft says we have had Banyans for a number of years, and it was fairly stable for us. Microsoft does a lot of version updates, releases patches related to it. Once we move to that type of a system, we think that it's probably going to mean additional work, potentially for the IS staff. And we also believe that trying to add the 5 level, which is a mid-range level of IS staff, would allow us to deal more efficiently, more effectively with our customers, because we could deal more quickly with some of their concerns. Again, a discussion about limited duration aspect, and we certainly would support that. We believe that we'll be able at some point to show an ongoing workload need as we move through the biennium, but we believe that they're needed at this point in time at that level. I would ask Jim, I think we handed out to you a chart like this that goes through the IS staffing for the legal side of the Department of Justice, and I can have Jim walk through that. Then if there are some questions, follow-up questions from the DCS, the Division of Child Support presentation last week, we'd be happy to answer those also.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jim Jorgensen, the Information Services Manager of the Department of Justice. We provided two handouts. The first that Ms. Wilson referenced is this org chart that kind of shows the structure of IS. As you can see, we're, if you look at the first three columns, we're comprised of a development team, an operations team, and a legal applications team. At that largest box near the top, I've outlined what positions are in each of those teams, which if you include the team leader, is five positions in the development team, eight in the operations team, and four in the legal applications team. Column at the right is that one limited position, limited duration position that serves the HIDTA program. And then underneath that, in each column, I took from some of our internal documents that I had on file some of the summary information, the kinds of work they do. Basically, the development team is in charge of our data systems, and we do have some custom data systems. When we went out to look at a legal management data system, although there were some on the market, they didn't meet well the diverse program areas that we operate in. I could find one that was for litigation, for example, but it didn't fit well in handling the needs of our consumer protection group or our crime victims group. So the approach we took was to go through each division and specific program and go in and work with them to come up with a data system that was specific to their need. We have 10 of those matter management systems in operation. In addition, we have 100 or so smaller, just access types of databases that are very small and for more specialized needs. The operations team basically has three people that are working on the network, and one of those is primarily focused on the security part of it, and then we have four people now working on the help desk. So that second column lists out the kinds of things they do, which is operating and managing and planning for our local area network, our wide area network, our security, and the operations that go along with it, such as backup. On the help desk, we also do, besides just answering the phone and going and visiting users that have problems, we do a lot of ad hoc training, and we also, as you are aware by now, are handling the desktop hardware support out of that same group. So that's all the installs and maintenance errors that have to do with the PC hardware. The legal application side is what where we handle all of the commercial software that we utilize. So Microsoft Word would be an example of something. This group administers the software for us as well as handles the maintenance and operations of that. We also have the trainer assigned in that group, since that's where we do most of the training. And they also are the people that are taking care of the content for our website that's hosted over at DAS and for our own internal intranet. The HIDTA program, just briefly, is kind of a summary of some of those other things. A lot of it has to do with system maintenance and administration. The law enforcement system that the HIDTA program is part of has a lot of specific security requirements, and there are servers over there that, because of security, aren't accessible to other people on my staff. So that person primarily does those kinds of things, plus support of not only the users within DOJ, but as the program expands, it will be more and more law enforcement agencies elsewhere in the state.
Full-time position there?
It is, sir. Yes.
So you said the person assists other people in DOJ?
The user community within that HIDTA program, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, it's the Criminal Justice Division, and they're assigned there to work on that, on those systems exclusively.
Representative Patridge.
Hey, Mr. Chair, how many attorneys are involved for the federal HIDA program in Oregon?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, directly as far as federally funded attorneys, there are no attorneys on, in the HIDA package. However, certainly the chief counsel of the Criminal Justice Division is the chair of the HIDA committee. And I'm sure that he works with others in his division.
Follow-up then. How many special assistant U.S. attorneys are within the federal HIDA system that are being paid for at the local DA level?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I have no idea. We could try and find that out.
Well, my question, I guess, is how many users are, I'm not aware of that many people. I think there's three or four attorneys statewide that are accessing the federal HIDA data, as well as maybe some of the law enforcement agencies. And so my, I mean, what are these great grandiose requirements that they have on the federal HIDA program that requires one person, you know, and what's the data integrity, I guess, of the rest of the system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, for a number of years now, the Oregon and the Department of Justice have operated a criminal intelligence unit for law enforcement agencies in the state of Oregon. The HIDA program allowed us to gear that up so it could be an online system. Initially, the HIDA program has three counties included, which are the HIDA law enforcement units in those counties, and those are the first to provide services. The second plan of implementation in the division is that they will go out to all of those narcotics units in law enforcement agencies throughout the state. The ultimate plan is that this would be a law enforcement tool that would be provided to any law enforcement agency active in the state of Oregon, be they state, county, city, or federal agency. It's pointed, though, to law enforcement agencies, not to the attorney side of it.
So how many users? This person said,
I didn't bring that. Mr. Chairman, I'd have to bring the numbers if you wanted to hear them. My estimate of the numbers I reviewed in the last week or two was that at that ultimate side, they were talking about 250 in that range.
Users,
yes. Spread through the
nature various. Of their use.
We run, at this point, a online data system that is for criminal intelligence and subject to Oregon administrative rule. There are records in that database regarding incidents and people and things, and that information is used by investigators in trying to do link analysis to see where things hook together and in the course of their investigative work. In addition, we're doing a new system that is for avoiding agencies acting in conflict with another agency. Deconfliction is what they call it.
So we've got three counties. Was there a computer sitting in three counties that these 200 people access, or is it 200 people on some
network? Mr. Chairman, was when they ultimately have this deployed to all the law enforcement officers in the state that elect to use it, not just the HIDA counties. That's the starting point, but that's not the end point that's envisioned by the program.
And Mr. Chair, this position is federally funded. There are no state funds associated.
And?
Just information.
So I'm just, we have a IS-5 person. Is this a access database? I mean, is this on the internet? Is it some wide area network connection coming in?
A database. Mr. Chairman, that is a The database runs on SQL Server.
And
has both Windows front ends and web front ends, depending on what usage it is and whether it's internal to the department or external.
So it's running on a wide area network that someone at the county level can come in over the over their connection and get to hit it?
Through a national law enforcement network, yes, sir.
Okay. Are there badges? Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, as Sue Wilson noted in the...
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I guess as you say, it's a national network. In order to be a part of that, we have to be able to input. Is that an issue? Maybe I don't understand it well.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, there is a national network for law enforcement that is in place today, and Oregon has been granted membership to that. You may be familiar with the Western States Information Network, WISN, that has been around for quite a while, and that is part of that same network. And actually, that's a California base and serves the West Coast, and that's how we attach into the more national network. So law enforcement already has that access to WISN. This is just augmenting that with specific Oregon information on top of the national stuff. It all fits into a network that's...
I guess my question, Mr. Chair, and maybe you can answer too. If you're part of a national network sometimes, in order to access it, you also have to be able to input. And I assume this is part of the input process too? It is not, you're saying?
I don't think so. I think this is the support person.
But the support person to input?
No, Mr. Chairman, what we're trying to do with this, Senator Duncan, is put this online. So the actual input will be done at the local level by the officer. Right now, it's a very paper-intensive process, and that builds in a lot of time delay. And so one of the things this will accomplish is to have the local law enforcement officer be able to do their entry online instead of submitting a paper form the way it has been.
Okay. Any further questions? Is there any other questions anyone would like to ask the agency? Okay, with that, then we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5022. Open a work session on House Bill 5022. Committee, what is your pleasure? We got some recommendations. Maybe if you want to give us the fiscal officer's recommendations.
Yes, sir. Chair Hill, committee members, I placed before you a one-page sheet which reflects draft recommendations for the package. As we indicated earlier, there are four positions. The first recommendation is to make the management analyst position limited duration for one position. This would ensure that next budget development process, the ongoing need for this position would be reviewed and made a part of the next budget process. Second recommendation relates to the IS-5 positions for the high-intensity drug trafficking program. Recommendation is also that position be made limited duration. Understanding that would be reviewed also next session based on the continued availability of federal funds to support it. The third recommendation is one where the committee would be directing them to back out the appropriate amount of money for one-time costs. The package identifies $828,420 in expenses that are related to hardware and software. This is an area where the committee needs to probably confirm that is the exact amount that should be backed out. The agency did mention in testimony they wanted to get to a four-year cycle for PC replacement, so there's an issue as to whether or not any money needs to be maintained in the base budget. The package initially was presented as though those were one-time costs for $828,420. At the chair's request, I have placed a bullet on that sheet that says that they be requested, that we request Department of Administrative Services to unschedule a portion of the expenditure limitation, specifically $142,500 for the security project until DAS, IRMD, and DOJ can develop a coordinated plan to meet that system's security needs. Basically, this could be done within the session. If that's done, they could come back with this committee or another Ways and Means Committee to get that rescheduled. Ultimately, it's a administrative process between the agency and DHS, so if it happens after session. Those are the general recommendations as I understand them.
Please, Senator.
Mr. Chair.
What does it say, Lincoln?
Just have a quick question of Wilson. That would work for you folks, wouldn't it? It looks to me as if they're giving you you're saying you need this. It looks to me as if the request to do with DAS and so forth would be sufficient. Does that create problems for you in any way?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, no, I don't think. I mean, the working with DAS and the unscheduling creates a problem. I didn't hear a recommendation, I don't think, related to the IS-5 position. Only the HIDA position.
No, that is correct.
IS-5 position.
The recommendation would be that those IS-5 positions be approved. In recognition of the fact that you're transitioning to another system, there was no recommendation for reduction from LFO.
Is that a limited duration, Mr. Chair?
I believe the request is for those positions to be made permanent.
That's, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, again. So then if I'm reading it right, the third bullet there does meet their request here, number 3, on positions.
If I could clarify for Senator Duncan, that third bullet was put there as a point for the committee to discuss in its deliberations today, because at the close of last meeting, there was some discussion about whether or not the 17 existing positions could be redeployed to, in part, take care of the need for those 2 IS positions. And at this point, based on the information that the agency has provided me, LFO's recommendation is that those positions be allowed at least temporarily for this meeting.
Okay. Based on that, Mr. Chair, I would be willing to move LFO's recommendations on the 3 positions. The 3 recommendations presented by LFO: to approve the establishment of the management analyst, to approve the establishment of the information system specialist, and to approve the 2 limited duration IS position. Right?
Senator Duncan moves that the committee recommend to the Public Safety Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee to approve the establishment of management analyst 2 position. 1 FTE for 24 months. It would make it limited duration position, so ongoing need for this position will be needed to be reviewed as part of the 2003-5 budget development process. In addition, moves to approve the staffing of the information system specialist 5 position, 1 FTE for the high intensity drug trafficking area and organized crime intelligence unit programs, 24 months, but continue it as a limited duration position. There's no guarantee that federal funds for this position project will continue permanently. Discuss and
then I move the approval. Let's see.
You want to do the next one, or just want to do? I was going to take the third one as well. Take all 3,
or just do them.
Well,
we'll do the first 2.
Well, it approves the 2 new IS-5 limited duration.
We'll just take the first 2.
Okay.
Did I understand the motion?
For the first two.
First 2 bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? Is there any objection? And so ordered.
Then, Mr. Chair, I move the approval of the 2 new IS-5 positions as limited duration positions.
Senator Duncan moves that the committee recommend to the Public Safety Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee we approve the two IS5 positions with limited duration. Any discussion? Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm willing to do this, but I'm really having some staffing personnel issues, not on this side necessarily, but on the childcare division side. And I'd ask that the full Ways and Means Committee take a, or the Ways and Means Subcommittee take a look at those particular positions, because the staffing ratio is like 15-1 on the child, on the support force division, or the child support division of child support, sorry. And so, you know, that's my only contention in this whole bit, and, you know, and I guess we're going to do the policy package as an additional piece, so I'll just wait and reserve my, the rest of my comments, but I don't think it's appropriate now to do that, but I mean, I'll talk to Senator Miller about the staffing ratio, because I think that that's, I just think that that's something we should look at.
Do you want to make a recommendation for another hearing for this? I mean, the suggestion we can discuss, yeah. Make a recommendation of this committee?
Yeah.
To the sub?
Well, why don't we vote on this? Do you want to vote on this?
Yeah.
You
well, okay, with the intent then that, I guess there need to be some correlation you're talking about. In
well, what I'd like to do is let's just vote on your recommendation, then I'll make a different motion to the sub for the sub to look at.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. I have a question, Mr. Chairman. So when Representative Partridge says 15-1, you mean 15-1 manager?
Yeah, he's referring to 15 employees to one IS support person. The ratio of how many employees to a single person support.
For one IS position. 15 support?
Supports 15 users.
So for 15 users. Mm-hmm.
So that will be the next subject. The motion here is to, Senator Duncan has made to make a recommendation to the Public Safety, Safety Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee to approve two new IS5 positions of limited duration. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to that? Without objection, so ordered. Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, while we're in the position standpoint, I would recommend that the Public Safety Subcommittee explore the Division of Child Care Support and their information staff or information system staffing ratio.
If I could comment, Chair Hill and Representative Patridge, the subcommittee is going to work tomorrow. Their public hearing schedule is nearly completed. If there's any specific recommendation beyond that, I will make sure that Representative or Senator Hill, Miller knows about the recommendation.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess
about time.
Okay, I guess my concern in all this is I don't know. I'm sorry I missed the first few minutes, and maybe there was a discussion about this in the first few minutes of the committee, but I still don't feel like we have justification for the amount of IS staff to the amount of users in the regular Department of Justice division, and then this inflated, almost double ratio of users to IS staff in the division. And I don't want to blatantly run around and say cut their staffing by half. I mean, I think that would be an awkward, you know, position to put them in, nor do I have a basis to do that, but I don't feel like by the same token they have justified the staffing ratio, and so
perhaps
I'm trying to get my arms around that.
Sure. Well, I guess, Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, are you seeing the possibility of, are those things so separated, or are you seeing that where they can maybe do some double duty or something?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, I think that those monies are dedicated. They can't be used because it's the federal dollar match, so they can't be utilized. They can't cross-pollinate or whatever, for lack of a better term. I don't know what to do, but, I mean, I don't know how to get a handle on this.
Maybe a recommendation would be that we go to budget and have them come back to JMTC, work with DAS, come back and report on how they could reduce the staffing ratios
equalized between this agency, it might be something to come and look at, rather than trying to use a federally funded position, is that we, you know, rob Peter, pay Paul, we move them to the other funded on the other side, and then maybe the accounting is easier to account for to buy back other funded positions for the support for the federally funded programs, and so you move them that way, and so you're reducing on one side, building up on the other, but then you could then use these for greater efficiencies, and so that may be the way that we can talk about this and have this issue reserved going forward.
How about if we make 10 of them a limited duration positions until they come to the legislature to testify why they, the difference in staffing ratio and why their staffing ratio is appropriate?
Sue? Do you know how many open recs there are in this group? Are there any open recs in the Division of Job Support?
Open recs?
For people? Open, unfilled positions.
Unfilled positions? Is that currently vacant positions?
IS related.
I think I'll ask Cindy Chinock, the administrator, to come up. Mr. Chair, I might just also say we'd be more than happy to work with the committee or anyone on ratios. Again, I know that you haven't looked at a lot of different agencies yet, but I would be real curious to find out what standard we should be aiming for.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, I am Cindy Chinock, Administrator of the Division of Child Support, Department of Justice. And the question was in terms of vacancies, and I don't have today's numbers. We have, since Y2K, been able to keep our positions filled. We, even though they are filled, we continue to augment that with contract programmers. And I do have, I didn't speak before you went into work session because we were moving right along, but I do have information which I can provide to you now or later in terms of the LAM support, IS support positions, which are similar to the rest of the legal divisions and then the mainframe and what they're doing. So I do have that information, and it's your pleasure how I present that.
For work session, I'd be interested to hear what they have to say then, Mr. Chair. If you can.
Thank you. 15-1 ratio IS. Is that what you're saying? What does that mean, 15-1? 15
users.
Computer technology users. No, 15 child support worker users to 1 technology support staff, 1 computer person that goes in there and troubleshoots and that kind of stuff. And the programmer does what? Have we seen job descriptions and how the IS job description for your division might differ from somebody else's? I do know that computer work in your division is extremely labor intensive. It's child support collections have been going on largely through the Great Oz, the computer, and it takes a lot of people grooming and feeding it and keeping it happy, because it manages what, something like 60,000 child support cases for the state?
240,000
now child support cases. Collections are automatic. Wage withholding orders are automatic. It's all done through the computer. Interstate wage withholding orders are generated. A lot of administrative orders are generated automatically. The Great Oz does a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
would you say that this department is far more dependent upon the computer and information technology than maybe any other department in the state?
Mr. Chair and Representative Lowe, and also to some of your questions, Representative Patridge, the mainframe system, which we refer to as a system, is actually a series of 8 or 9 large systems that do the following functions. that we have Locate, which is a tie to a variety of databases, both locally and nationally. We have Enforcement, which is a variety of tools that we use in those cases where they're not paying. We have the Establishment process, which is set up automatically, and there's a related system at the local area network at the desktop. And there are a variety of automatic actions that occur daily through the mainframe system. I don't know if I can simply put this. The local area network staff, which is 22, including the manager, are the ones who provide all of the support to all of our users. And and when we were here, we enlisted those users at 588, I believe. We also support all the users in the district attorney's offices with that staff. So we're really supporting staff of close to 750 with the local area network staff of 22. We have 2.5 of those providing, just maintaining servers, doing the backups, maintenance, security, all of that. We have 2 that deal with our networks in terms of the routers, switches, you know, sort of the firewall and internet access, as well as the printers. We have 5 that do application development, and while I talk about the CISA system at the mainframe, we have a variety of desktop applications, including database applications similar to, and the applications are not similar to the legal division's applications, but in a way, in terms of support required is similar. And then we have 2.5 that just keep those applications up to date, and 3 that do the user support from a central, so a help desk of 3 staff for 730 up to 750 staff. We have then 6 additional positions that are located regionally outside of Salem around the state to be on site to go to the district attorney's offices or the DCS offices to support them. Then, so that's the LAN staffing. The mainframe staffing does not do any of the support for the users. They are focused entirely on systems analysis, programming, maintenance, meeting our federal requirements that come out annually practically, if not more frequently, that are very specific and detailed about how the system has to operate. And that's the part that I talked about before that was 60 to 62% on new development and then 40% on maintenance. So that gives you an idea of those staffing. So when you look at the ratio, if you include the entire staff, it's a little different animal, if you will, than the IS staff on the legal division side because of the mainframe application. I don't know if there are other questions.
Mr. Passage.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I appreciate the input from the department. I still am very concerned, even at 700 plus users, it still seems like a lot to me based upon the number of hours and other things that are available to for each of those users. I think it changes the staffing ratio from about 15 to 1 to 22 to 1, but I think that's still significantly higher than probably is appropriate. I just ask that we recommend to the Public Safety Subcommittee that the Department of Justice report to the Joint Information Management and Technology Committee or this committee before the end of the session with a recommendation from DAS as to the appropriate IS staffing levels.
Representative Patridge moves that the committee recommend to the Public Safety Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee that Department of Justice return to the appropriate legislative committee to report and jointly with DAS and inform us of the appropriate staffing levels and ratios which would be appropriate for the type and nature of the work being performed. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, a thought occurred to me. I don't know how it works now. All I have to base this observation on is how it worked when I was doing court enforcement years ago back in the Clark County DA's office. And when you're counting the 750 users, you're probably counting deputy DAs. Are you also counting the staff that supports that? I do know that in Clackamas County, I think there's 5 or 7 lawyers assigned to that division now, and quite a few staff that support the lawyers, and there's terminals on all their desks. And in some counties, there's like 1 or 2 attorneys, but a whole bunch of staff. How do you get to the 750? Are you including every terminal? Are you counting terminals? Are you counting positions? What are you counting?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, this number comes from the program director's office in Adult and Family Services as the FTE that's funded or partially funded anyway by the federal funds. So it's a count that they make, and it's of positions in the program, including attorneys and staff.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there any objection to the recommendation? Hearing and seeing none, so
Mr. Chair, I'd move the we're under planned expenditures, I believe, at this point. Mm-hmm. I'd move bullet one to direct the Department of Justice to separately track all of its 2001, 2003 hardware and software expenses so that it can provide a detailed report of the expenditures when requested by the JLCIMT, Ways and Means, or other legislatively established committee reviewing information technology and expenditure.
President Thatcher moves that the committee recommend to Public Safety and Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee we direct the Department of Justice to separately track all of the 2001-3 hardware and software expenses so that it can provide a detailed report of the expenditures when requested by JLCIMT Committee, Ways and Means, and or other legislatively established committees reviewing information technology projects and expenditures. Discussion.
But you can't say that 5 times fast.
Could you repeat it? No.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, no, Senator, please
no,
go
I
forward.
To.
No, Senator, mine votes not.
I'll choose.
You decide. you always favor the House.
You are both gentlemen and scholars as well as statesmen. Would somebody please help me remember what JLCIMT is?
Right, Legislative Committee
on
Information and Management Technologies.
Probably the most important.
That would be you, huh?
we're the two co-chairs of it.
That's great. Okay.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, yes. I guess I always, every time we ask an agency to do something, I recognize that there's always an impact out there, the fiscal impact, the time impact, and so forth. What does this do to your agency? Because it's nice for us to be able to say, just please do this, but I also know that sometimes that can mean a lot of work.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, I appreciate the concern. I think what it will mean for us is setting up some separate accounting systems. This is not something that is, you know, within our current categories of budgeting is broken down in this way. So we will do it as an accounting function. We would have to do it rather than a budgeting function. So it just means setting up separate accounting systems to try to track those particular expenditures and trying to identify what they are.
It's a very manageable kind of a thing, then, you're saying?
It will take staff time. Additional staff time.
What kind? Give me an idea.
It's really hard to say. At this point in time, again, it will mean going through breakouts of any sort of invoices and identifying what's in particular areas and tracking them. I would say accounting staff, and I won't speak for the accounting staff specifically, but I would say probably you might be looking at a quarter of an individual's time in doing the tracking.
Well, Mr. Chair, the reason I asked this question, I learned years ago, I casually asked a question of someone on my staff. It was just a casual question about something, and I found out that 80 hours of work had gone in just to prepare an answer to a casual question I had. So through the years, I've learned to be very careful about the casual questions I ask, and there are times that they're very important questions, and I don't want to deny it, so that's why I wanted to get the feeling for that. And a quarter of a time position, I guess. That is an impact, and maybe it's offset. It's worthwhile to do it. I'm not opposed to it. I just wanted us to be sure that we're aware that every time we ask for something like this, we're asking for time and its cost.
I guess I would think that that's overly generous program for someone's time. I can't imagine this being that time consuming. But I...
No, I don't know.
I'm not sure what it's going to be.
Will you have advantage?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for Senator Duncan, I think that there's going to be a bill that's going to come before this committee probably at some point in time to ask that these particular expenses be tracked anyway, that it's a policy-related bill, because I think Chair Hill had some figures done just regarding desktop systems that we spend on during a biennium that was $44 million just in desktop system. System-wide, and so I think that there are some significant budgetary issues that we will look at from a hardware and software standpoint in the state budget, and I think it's crucial, especially as we try and get our arms around these things, to have agencies track them.
Mr. Chair, as I said, I'm not opposing it, but I just wanted to have an awareness of what is the impact, and as if we're going to do this, I think across the board we need to be aware that it does have an impact.
Okay. Any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Can I ask a
stupid
related question? Well, maybe it's not so stupid. How often does the mainframe go down?
I'm going to have to defer. Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe,
I remember that being a significant issue. Like I said, the Oz takes a great deal of grooming and prodding.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, We have statistics, and I'd be glad to get that to you. We have been fortunate to have reduced the number of times that the system is down, and the time of that occurrence has, once we have the system down, we're able to get it up more quickly. So the actual loss production time due to the system being down has decreased over time. I can get you the actual figures.
I bet you've got figures that also say what the loss in productivity is during the downtime. I bet you have that, don't you?
Representative Hill and Representative Lowe, yes. We know what our productivity is, and we can calculate that based on the hours of downtime, the lost productivity.
If it's not too casual, may I follow through, Mr. Mr. Chair, if it's not too casual of an inquiry, perhaps it might be good to know what a reduction in IS staff might mean in terms of projected downtime and loss in productivity. Because as we think about these things, we'd better have the full picture.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, I'll see what we can get pulled together in terms of that information.
I don't want somebody to have to spend half their life gathering that information.
Keep it under 30 hours if you can.
I don't know what place that is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I move the second planned expenditure recommendation from LFO to the committee considers $597,120 in policy option package number 112 to be a one-time expense that need to be taken out of the DOJ base budget for the 2003-05 biennium.
Representative Patrick moves that the committee recommend to the Public Safety Regulation Ways and Means Subcommittee that the committee can consider $597,120 in the policy option package 112 to be one-time expenses that need to be taken out of the BOG base budget for 2003-05. Discussion?
Just a real quick thing.
Representative Passage?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only trepidation with this particular policy package and recommending it to move forward is that I don't believe that they have the professional services to complete this package within the talent and scope of the department. And Larry, as part of the budget discussion, I'm relying on the department that says they have the talent and ability to do this on a six-month time frame. I don't believe that they do. If they can do it, great, but I think it needs to be as part of the budget commentary that the committee was highly suspect that based upon the fact that there were no professional and trade services to complete this project, that we were doubtful that it could be completed in 6 months without those professional services. because I don't want it to come back to the, I don't want to come back to the e-board or anyone else later on. You know, I'd rather know up front what it is. I'd rather fight for the cost and do what needs to be done up front rather than come to the e-board later on and say, this project's a couple hundred thousand over budget. And how does the department make that up in attorney's fees to all the other departments and the rippling effects that it has, or just a general fund grant, so.
Okay. So if I could confirm for purposes of the narrative that you, the subcommittee would like the budget report, would like the subcommittee to adopt language so that the budget report for Department of Justice reflects this committee's concern with whether or not the project timeline established to be completed within 6 months can be done in light of the amount of funds set aside for professional and trade services.
Maybe in light of the fact that there are no funds set aside for professional.
Okay.
May I inquire?
Okay, well.
Maybe I was trying to wake up during the discussion about this particular item, but we went from 828,420 to 597, please.
That's the appropriate one-time.
Okay.
The other dollars are appropriate to roll into base budget.
Okie dokie. Got it.
That's the discrepancy of those, the 828,000.
That was described here.
Right. So where it's at. The department provided that number on page 2 of their underneath the 123 on page 2 of their memo to us. These changes will result in a one-time cost. The department provided that, and Alan was comfortable with that.
Yes, and do we also...
I just thought you were being mean.
Yeah, this is Department of Justice.
I'm not going to
DC, there's a figure for DCS as well.
I'm a big
Cindy, did you testify to that? One-time expenses for PC replacements?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I did testify that we had a reduced amount in our budget from this biennium to next biennium for desktop replacement on a four-year replacement cycle, but no one-time cost. Those are just ongoing items. The numbers were for desktop PCs, 456,000 projected this biennium, 280,000 the next biennium, and that represents about 200 PCs.
Okay, so Cindy, are you testifying that that's what's necessary for you to stay on a four-year cycle of replacement, or that amount? Is in excess of that.
Mr. Chair, members, that is the just the amount to keep us on a four-year replacement. There are no additional, and it's a reduction from this biennium because we had some one-time cost this biennium. But it's
based on Cindy's testimony, the budget includes only what's necessary to stay on the four-year cycle, so she would argue that those should be a part of the rolling base budget for purposes of maintaining her cycle, which is essentially the same argument that DOJ put forward in their memo asking for the $121,500 left hand to stay on their four-year cycle.
What about the difference with software? Or there's other associated one-time costs or other associated costs with email, which made up the difference.
That's
not
the part of it. Yeah. Sue, maybe you can clarify, but my understanding is that $121,500 is a part of the difference. There are two other components as well. So to drive to the $597,000 figure, you were allowing $121,500 for them to stay on their four-year replacement cycle. If you did that consistently with DCS, then they would also maintain that $280,000 as an ongoing expense.
So we've got Representative Patrick's motion with the
committee consider $597,120 in the policy option package, felt to be one-time expenses and be taken out of the DOJ base budget 2305. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Do we need to make a formal motion on the narrative?
No.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're on bullet number 3 under planned expenditures. I'd request a DAS unscheduled expenditure of $142,500 for the security project until DAS, IRMD, and DOJ develop a coordinated plan to meet system security needs and present a plan to the appropriate legislative oversight committee.
Representative Patridge moves that the committee make adopt a recommendation to the Public Safety Regulation Liaison Subcommittee that DAS unscheduled expenditure of $142,500 for the security project until DAS, IRMD, and DOJ develop a coordinated plan to meet system security needs and present the plan to the Legislative Oversight Committee. Any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair would we make a recommendation to adopt the budget note request the movement of the Division of Child Support's external web server be moved to the DAS data center. I'm going to take a report to the JLIMTC. On the status of that.
No, God knows what they do there.
Any discussion?
Works for me.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Any further issues?
I'd just like to thank the department. I know you're the first kind of agency budget that's a big budget. I apologize if you think you were beat up or anything else. You weren't. It's not intentional. Nobody doesn't. I don't think anyone up here has any particular abuse with the department. I think we're just trying to get some answers, and unfortunately, you get to be the test subject. So, thank you for your presentation. Thank you for getting back with us with the data as quick as you did. We appreciate it, or I appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge and committee, we appreciate and understand the arduous task that you have ahead of you.
Any further questions, comments? With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 5022. Representative Patridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are we going to talk about the PUD, our PUC, and the hearing?
Let the committee members know that you'll see on your schedule that we are scheduled for a joint meeting. I don't know how it's going to conflict with people's schedules, but we are meeting jointly with the Ways and Means Trade and Economic Development Subcommittee.
Transportation.
Mm-hmm. Trade and Economic Development Subcommittee. And we'll be looking at the PUC budget.
When is that, Mr. Chair?
They meet at 1 o'clock. So, and I don't know.
Hearing room, this one?
I don't
174.
I think the plan is, I think, Mr. Chair, I think the plan, Senator or Representative Butler chairs the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee. Senator, you and I both sit on that committee as well. That meets from 1 to 3.
What day?
And that meets tomorrow and Wednesday, and I didn't know if we were going to have Wednesday this committee as well or not.
Yes, we will.
So we're going to have double duty.
We will have double duty on Wednesday.
Okay. But anyone is more than welcome to do it. It's in the hearing room. You know the number is of the hearing room, Larry. It's right across from
174.
I had judiciary right at that time.
Okay. See what but if there are any issues about the transportation budget, Representative Hill, or PUC budget, Representative Hill and I, and bring this up if you can't make it, but Senator Yee's going to be there and Representative Hill doesn't.
So, Mr. Chair, why is this committee involved in PUC's budget?
We were recommended by Representative Butler, asked that we join in on that in terms of bring some look at some of the issues that will come before PUC. on their technology dollars they're spending, because there's lots of technology issues related to 622 and 1149.
Oh, I see.
That came through Chairman Hill's committee last.
Mm-hmm. You mean there will be packages involving technology improvements?
Well, and how the dollars are spent.
Oh, I see.
I just think that's really a wonderful concept to combine committees.
There we go. We'll be efficient.
I think that's terrific.
So there will be no Wednesday afternoon 3:30 meeting for this committee?
Yes, there will.
Still will?
Yes, we will be meeting.
We'll be working twice Wednesday afternoon.
Yes. We will be looking
there's
at
no
state police. We'll be looking at state police coming up and the issues there. You can look forward to our 911.
Oh, Representative Hodges said to me there will be.
That's what I was hoping, but.
Oh.
No, we still have to maintain our schedule, so.
Oh,
we
bring the no-dos.
That's right. We'll be tough. So.
Really,
otherwise, we could work on Friday, so I'd rather do double duty on Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
So, with that, we are adjourned.
That's fine. Just